Hey, this is Jeremy. Just wanted to hop on before the episode started with a few announcements. We really want to hear from you, and perhaps the best way to do that, we actually have a subreddit now. It's just r/polyphonicpress, and I'll leave a link to it in the show notes. But it's always been my dream to have a community where we can all get together and talk about the albums that we review and just music in general. So if you want to join the community and start the community, really, because it's quite small right now, it's just r/polyphonicpress. And you can always help out the show in various ways. You can check out our Patreon and get these episodes the day before that they go live, and leave a rating and a review on Apple Music or Spotify or wherever you're listening. Those are great ways to get in touch with us as well. That's it. I just wanted to say that. And now on to the episode. Thank you.
Polyphonic Press, the podcast where two music fans pick a classic album completely at random. Using the patented random album generator, they are given an album to review from a curated list of over 1,000 classic releases, spanning multiple genres. And now onto the show. Here are your hosts, Jeremy Boyd and John Van Dyke.
Hey, welcome to Polyphonic Press. I'm Jeremy Boyd.
I'm John Van Dyke.
And let's not waste any time. We've got the patented random album generator right in front of us here. So let's hit the button and see what album we're going to be listening to this week. And the album we're going to be listening to is the Tom Tom Club, Tom Tom Club.
Okay.
So this is actually a cool project. This is Tina Weymouth and Chris France from Talking Heads. They're married. He's the drummer, she's the bass player. This is their side project.
I see.
So this is what it says on allmusic.com. It says, "Who needs to think when your feet just go?" So sings Tina Weymouth on Tom Tom Club's debut album. And rightly so. This was the sunny break in the islands that the rhythm section of Talking Heads wanted, and they got it, away from the art school intellectualism that had resulted in the classic but understandably very unsunny Remain in Light. This album, a collection of funky, sprightly little tunes recorded in Barbados with Weymouth sisters, husband and drummer Chris France, and several of the members of the Remain in Light tour group, Adrian Ballou on guitar and Stephen Stanley on percussion.
Oh, wow.
Ironically, hoping to toss off a fun album under the radar, the group came out with an album, the best tracks of which, Genius of Love and Wordy Rapping Hood, became enormously influential throughout the 80s and 90s, eventually getting ripped off wholeheartedly for Mariah Carey's Daydream. The album also marks a point in music history when the New York alternative scene and the burgeoning hip-hop scene were influencing each other, when both parties were on to something new. It's a snapshot of time and still holds together fairly well. Yeah, so this was released in October of 1981. The genre is funk, and the label is Sire Records / Warner Brothers in the US and Island and Polygram in the UK. A&M in Argentina and Mercury in Australia, produced by Chris France, Tina Weymouth, and Stephen Stanley. And if you're listening along, there's 8 songs on the album, and it's divided evenly between side 1 and side 2, 4 and 4. So if you're listening along, which we encourage you to do, and we've linked the album in the show notes to both Spotify and Apple Music, what we do is we take a pause after side 1 to discuss the album halfway through. So if you're listening along and you want to do that, the album starts with Wordy Rapping Hood and ends with track 4, which is La Défunte. Side 1 ends with track 4, La Défunte. So without further ado, we can get it. Okay, so here we go. Here is the first song on the album, Wordy Rapping Hood. So here we go. Okay, and ending the side one with L'Elephant. Yeah, this is... I don't know what to say, really. I mean, this is pretty... this is a cool album. I like it. I do like it. It's weird, but I like it.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. Like, I mean, we all know Tina Weymouth from her, like, work in the... Talking Heads. Thank you. Man, I'm tired today. Anyway, and they've got a very interesting, like, taste in musical direction when it comes to stuff that they do. It's never going to be normal. And yeah, I'm sort of enjoying this too. It's definitely quirky. It's funkier in a lot of cases, and I think Adrian Belew's playing on it is really interesting too. But his playing's always interesting.
Yeah, he's a very unique guitar player. Yeah, and it's funny. It's interesting. Like Genius of Love. I've heard that song millions of times. Like, I know that's probably their best known song. And it's been sampled everywhere in hip hop. Like, that is such a obvious choice to sample that. I mean, it's all right there. You know, the beat, and it's just a very easy thing to pick up and to loop. But I was listening to that song in particular, and I don't know if I'd heard the song, obviously, but I'd never really listened to it. And just all the different little sections, and the music was sort of the same throughout, but different, like, melodies and different sort of vocal phrasings, name dropping lots of like, basically name dropping all their influences, like Bootsy Collins, Bob Marley, Smokey Robinson, James Brown. So that was really cool. And then Wordy Rapping Hood was cool, and sort of like talking about how different words have different meanings, and different types of words, and it's sort of like observational comedy or something. Like, you use words every day, but you don't really think about words that much, and it's sort of, that was cool. But the music, yeah, the music is very eclectic, and it's definitely not conventional. And really, I mean, this is like, Talking Heads are not conventional either, really, but they were very popular. And so, like, with Chris France and Tina Weymouth and Adrian Belew, who had toured with Talking Heads as a touring musician, not in the band, the three of them did the side project just as a thing, just to, you know, Talking Heads were on a break, so they just went in. I think this whole album was recorded in 3 days, and so they just went in, and this was not taken seriously, and two of the songs became huge hits, and they were not expecting that to happen. And so so they weren't trying to make a hit. Like, they weren't trying to make anything commercial. They were just doing it for fun.
Usually the best hits are ones that weren't intended to be hits in a lot of cases.
Yeah, because, like, this, if I think if they were seriously trying to make an album, like, it doesn't sound like they're, and I think I've heard from a lot of, like, I've seen a lot of interviews with actors where they'll tell a story about going into an audition, and basically they'll go into an audition and they're sort of not expecting to get the part, but they're just going into audition anyway. And because they're relaxed and there's no pressure, they end up getting the role. And I think it's the same thing here. It's like, they're just having fun. They're relaxed. There's no pressure. The record company's not saying, we need a hit. You know, where's the album? You got to deliver the album. They're just going in, recording whatever. And you can definitely feel that. they're just throwing everything against the wall and seeing what sticks.
Yeah. The album's got like, it's, I can't help but be reminded of some, like, some of my Poet friends and stuff like that, and some of the stuff that they put out, and some of this is reminding me of that. Yeah, there's a certain, like, slam poetry sort of vibe to it.
Yeah, it's sort of like, it's sort of stream of consciousness, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I can definitely hear that for sure. Yeah, no, I mean, I've always admired her as a bass player. Yeah. I mean, like, honestly, like, the Talking Heads' first big hit, Psycho Killer, where would that song be without that iconic bass line? And that's all her. I've always really admired her bass line. She always chooses, she has a lot of Motown influence and a lot of James Jamerson influence on her bass lines. Even when they're not that style, she is bringing that sort of feel to it. So I've always admired her. And Chris France, her husband, is a really good drummer. And he's got a really, I've seen him in interviews. He's got a really, he seems like a very, like, Talking Heads can be a very serious band at yeah. times. And David Byrne is
a very serious frontman.
Very serious frontman. But he's kind of the opposite. He's kind of a John Candy kind of type of guy.
Okay.
He seems like a really nice guy and funny and fun to be with. That kind of shows that that sense of humor and sort of not taking this too seriously is coming through too. So, and they all wrote the songs. Like, it's a very collaborative thing. So I think that's really cool. But I guess we'll move on to the second half of the album. And it starts with the song As Above, So Below. So here we go.
All right.
I didn't mean for that to rhyme, but here we go. Okay, and ending the album with Booming and Zooming. This is pretty cool. I mean, I don't really know much else to say. I mean, this is I really like it. It's weird, but I like it because it's weird. I think it's really cool, you know.
Indeed. Yeah. Yeah, I don't have much to say about it either. Just that I've been sort of enjoying it. It's a little bit different than I normally listen to, but it's not that far from something I might listen to. So I'd say it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's definitely not. Yeah. It's definitely not something that I would necessarily put on or even think to put on. And like, I have heard of this band before. Like, I didn't know they existed, and I was aware of them, but I never really paid that much attention to them. I suppose I was more inclined to listen to Talking Heads than Tom Tom Club, but I mean, I'm glad that this came up, because I knew, like I said before, I knew the two songs, Wordy Rapping Hood and Genius of Love, but I didn't know anything else. And I only knew those songs in passing. I'd never actually sat down and listened to them. I'm glad that I was able to sit down and listen to this album. You know, it's not like you were like, it's interesting how we measure music, and it's sort of, the really dense lyrics, or like, you know, the guitar is amazing, and you know, it's all, but sometimes you just kind of have to let go of that and sort of think, well, these people are just, they're having fun making music. They're not taking it too seriously. And that really comes across, and it's kind of infectious. It's like, okay, this is fun. This is fun to listen to. It's a fun album, you know? It's not taking itself too seriously, and but it's not dumbed down either.
No.
You know what I mean? Like it's just right in that sweet spot.
Right. Yeah. No, it's true. I find if you're just honest with the you know, whatever you're creating, you won't it doesn't have to come off as being like you know, too cerebral or dumbed down for anything. It's just, you know, if it's honest, it's honest, and it's out there, and it's generally gonna be pretty good. Somebody will pick up on it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think this hit right at the right time too. I think, you know, late '70s, early '80s, new wave was happening, and this is really like fitting right into that. Although it's different than any other new wave, but it's also just like fits in very nicely and has its own spot right in there.
Yeah, it sort of has a almost a dub quality to it.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah. Yeah, I never thought of that. Yeah, it really does. So yeah, I really enjoyed this. So that, you know, that brings us to the inevitable question, like, would you listen to this again?
Yeah, I probably listen to this again.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. It's not something I would normally listen to, but I think moving forward, I would definitely put this on at some point when I'm in the right mood for it, you know?
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. They're great musicians, and they have a lot of other albums too. So this wasn't the only one. I don't think Adrian Belew is on the other ones, but there are other Tom Tom Club albums. So might be worth checking out those too. But yeah, I guess we'll end the episode there. Thank you so much for listening if you made it this far. We want to hear from you whether you agree or disagree with our review of the album. You can do that by going to the website, the contact page on the website, polyphonicpress.com/contact. And while you're there, you can check out old episodes and lots of cool stuff there. And if you feel inclined, you can also help us out on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/polyphonicpress. For $5 a month, you can get these episodes the day before they get released. And so if you're interested in that, check that out. And I guess that's about it. I'm Jeremy Boyd.
I'm John Van Dyke.
Take it easy.